Rejoice, dear friends, rejoice. And pray that God will begin a great work. Now please turn to Joshua chapter 10. As we consider how God did something He never did before and never afterwards, once only, no precedent, no duplication. How the sun stood still. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And Joshua said in the sight of all Israel, sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon also. Amen. Do you think such a thing possible? Please understand. We have read an historic account of a real event seen by eyewitnesses. This is not imagination. This is not hallucination. Once and once only, God lengthened the days of only 12 hours of sunlight. It was something like perhaps 20 hours of sunlight. I do not know, but it was a very long day. It says here the sun stood still. Today, we all understand that language is only to describe the witness, what he saw. Don't you see the sun come out on the east every morning? They go overhead, go down the west. You see, the sun is moving. Who's moving? The sun doesn't move. We move. The earth rotates. So you see, God's description is absolutely accurate. Joshua saw the sun. Didn't go down for a whole day. It should have gone down, but it didn't. The Creator stopped the rotation of the earth, not the sun. The earth stopped rotating so that the day lengthened. Naturally, some of you, the more scientific-minded, will say, is it really possible that this globe of 20,000 miles circumference really stopped rotating? Can the spinning of the planet be slowed down? What amount of force is needed to slow it down? And science will say, oh, that's rubbish. Impossible. The liberals, the modernists, those so-called Christians, they're actually unbelievers. They call themselves Christians, but they're totally infidel, unbelievers. And they laugh and they say, oh, you still in this modern age believe those Jewish fables? Jewish fables, they say. Dear friends, science is knowledge, and knowledge comes from God. And the greatest knowledge is the knowledge of God. All knowledge comes from God. All science, true science, comes from God. Only the false science says, this is impossible. True? Dear friends, have faith. I want you to turn to a verse, and there we are going to be instructed. Jeremiah. After Isaiah is Jeremiah. You see, God's word is written for a purpose, in order to instruct, in order to strengthen our faith. And I turn to Jeremiah so that you can read what the prophet Jeremiah wrote for your encouragement. In case you sit there and say, well, when I get home, my children, they are so scientific and they've done all their physics and astronomy and things so on. And they say, oh, mom, don't be so foolish. Those things are only fairy tales. Listen, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Here the prophet is speaking to us. Oh, dear friends, God raised prophets not for nothing. God raised prophets to write the truth of God for us, to help us. Are you being helped? You see, I read, but I can't believe, I can't understand. I say, read with faith. What did I say? Read with faith. Read with prayer. Read humbly. This is a holy book. This is a book of God. And God says, this is the truth. Now look at verse 17. The prophet Jeremiah says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Here is a confession, a declaration, if you like to say, by a prophet. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He wept because the people did not want to believe in their God. And they wanted to go their own way and serve false gods, dead gods. And Jeremiah wept for his people. And here he declares to them, he speaks to the Lord, Oh God, you have made heaven and earth with great power. There is nothing too hard for thee. Now, God responds in verse 26. Verse 26, the Lord said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me, dear friends? I ask you frankly, do you doubt? Even now as you sit there, are you thinking, well, it may be, may not be, maybe the writer was seeing things, maybe it's wrongly translated, whatever it is, are you doubting? The Lord speaks to you. Look, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord. What else can our loving God do except to speak to us? I say, thank God. What a wonderful God we have, isn't it? If he just climbs down and said, I'm not going to tell you anything, then we have no way of knowing. But he says, look, behold, I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no God. There is no one else. There's only one living and true God in all the world, which he created. One time there was no world, no planet Earth, no sun, nothing. And God brought them all to pass. How? By the word of his mouth. He spoke and they were created. Now, would you believe that? Would you have come to accept that? I'm but a speck in the whole ocean of the universe, of space, and nothingness, nothing. I'm just a speck, I'm nothing. And God made me that you could pass your grade 12 and become a BSc, a PhD. Where do you come from? We have to acknowledge the great God made me. He made the earth, made the sun. And if he made all things, could he not have slowed down the rotation of one of the billions of things he created? Answer is simple, right? This is faith. Consider, the Lord told us, he hangs the earth on nothing. He hangs the sun on nothing. All the planetary bodies by the billions and billions of galaxies, all of them don't have a suspension, something to stick it somewhere and hold it. Nothing. How come? Oh, we have a wonderful God. And everything is in place according to his commandment by immutable laws. These laws of physics and gravity and gravitation and outer space travel, all the laws are made by God, and all the planetary bodies and the other celestial bodies, all of the host of them obey His immutable law. You know that. Oh, what a great God we have. And there was another occasion when God not only slowed down the earth, but turned it backwards. That one you can read for yourself. You can make a note, but don't turn there. It's in 2 Kings chapter 20, the King Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 20, if you want to read it, read at home. The King Hezekiah was sick unto death. And God says, wind up your affairs, you're going to die. And he wept, and he beseeched the Lord, and he confessed, and said, Lord, have mercy. And you know what? God heard him. And the prophet came and told him, Hezekiah, God is sparing your life. And God will give you 15 more years to live. Oh, wonderful. Will my God really do that? Give me a proof. How can I know? And the prophet Isaiah said to him, well, Hezekiah, I give you a choice. You want a sign, a proof? Choose. Do you want the shadow of the sun to go down 10 degrees or to go backwards 10 degrees? Hezekiah says, well, to go down 10 degrees, it will naturally, automatically go down. I want the sign. Get the sun, go back. And the Lord caused the shadow of the dial to go back 10 degrees. How about that? It's like the motor car going to reverse gear. Go backwards. Can the God who could create and place all these heavenly bodies not cause the rotation of the earth suddenly to go backwards? You say, how can it be? I say, how can it be that you are born? How can it be? It's the same question. Origins, origins, origins. Where did everything come from? Where did the first life come from? Where did anything come from? God was there in the beginning. And he created out of nothing. Ex nihilo. Out of nothing, God created everything. And if he has such power, can he not do what he pleases? Dear friends, pray for faith. Now I give you another verse to read. As our time is running on, I hope you can stand a bit of hunger before lunch. Build up an appetite, don't worry. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Here is God speaking again through the prophet Isaiah. This is a wonderful chapter. The 40th chapter of Isaiah is a wonderful chapter for all the scientific-minded people. Read this chapter. Then you come face to face with the God of all science, with the God of creation, with the God who made you, with the God who made the universe. And what does it say in verse 21? Listen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21. God speaks to you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are but as grasshoppers, PhDs, PhDs, BSCs, masters of this and that and the other. What are they? Grasshoppers only. Dear friends, we are not that great, you know. You can go to university for 20 years, you come out still a grasshopper. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God's work are immense, vast, imponderable. We can never fathom out these things. They are beyond us. All we can do is say, Lord, I believe. I accept what you tell me. For this book is true. This book is true in every chapter, every verse, every line, every word, every syllable, every letter. All true. So, verse 21, 22. It says here, he that sits upon the circle of the earth speaks to you. long before man ever knew the earth was round. Thousands of years before Columbus went round the world, I said, my, I thought the earth was flat. No, my guess is right, my guess is right. The earth is not flat, it's round, because I went in one direction and I never turned back. I came back to the same place, it must be round. Great discovery. Long before that, God says, he who, God, creator, sits where? On the circle of the earth. Oh, how wonderful is God's word. Dear friends, now look at verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. Longest day. God can lengthen a day. God can shorten a day. Joshua witnessed it, and he saw it, and he experienced it, and he wrote it for us. You believe it? Thank God if you do. Now, I want you to notice what kind of a man Joshua was. We turn back to Joshua. Joshua was someone, I would say, exceptional. He is not like the man in the street. He cannot find a dozen Joshuas. There's only one Joshua. Only one. And he was a man of faith and action. You turn to Joshua chapter 10, and then you're going to see something very wonderful about this man. Verse 8, Joshua 10:8. The Lord said to Joshua, fear them not. They are a great army, five kings with all the armies, a great band of people. Most people will be trembling in their shoes. Joshua, fear not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. God used Joshua before. Joshua had proved himself before. As you call it, he had a good track record of obedience. Whatever God said to do, Joshua did. He was an obedient man. That's what we want today. We want boys and girls, young people, old people, all to be alert, ready to listen, ready to obey. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Joshua did, and he did it very quickly. Verse 9, Joshua came unto them, the enemy, suddenly. The word suddenly means speedily. Joshua wasted no time when the Lord spoke to him and said, Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't look at their faces and get frightened or nervous, because I have delivered them to you already. You are going to win a great victory. Some people will doubt. He said, Lord, but I'm afraid. I must train up my forces and gather more people before I can go. No, not Joshua. If God says go, he goes. If God says not to be afraid, he's not afraid. So he goes. Verse 9, Joshua, therefore, he obeyed, he trusted the Lord, and the Lord trusted him to do his work. Joshua, therefore, came unto the enemy camp suddenly, with all haste. He wasted no time, and went up from Gilgal all night. He didn't say, Lord, my job is 8 to 5, now it's night time, it's time to bed, I'll sleep. Tomorrow I'll start off the campaign. No! The Lord says, I have delivered them to you. Go! In God's business, we don't say, well, let's do what I can do today, do another day. No! What you can do today, do today. What you ought to do for him now, do now. Because you never know what shall be on the morrow. You know, you don't know. Our life is a vapor. I've written in the weekly today. We went to Toronto to attend a wedding. And we attended the wedding dinner. End of the dinner, the bride's younger brother collapsed and died. Just there, like that. In 2 hours, he was dead. So the whole family went into deep mourning. The bride's younger brother, age 17. any wish or thought or intention of, oh, let me grow up, finish my degree, then I'll serve the Lord. It's gone forever. Gone forever. Dear friends, do you realize? If you want to serve the Lord, have the spirit of Joshua in verse 9. You go suddenly and do the work of the Lord and go up all night. Meaning what? Urgently. Urgently. With full confidence. God is with me. I have His mandate. I have a purpose. I have a mission. I have an objective. Let me do it for Him. Dear friends, so our wedding dinner turned into a dinner of mourning. But it gave us an opportunity to minister to the family. So we invited them to our church. Let's come, I said to them. They all come from where? Bandung, Indonesia. Over 30 people went there to attend a wedding for this young couple. So we say, come to our church. And they came. They're Christians. Most of them are Christians. So we came and we had memorial service and the preaching of the Word of God and the declaring of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the bereaved and the comfort we have in the risen Savior. So, I say, Romans 8:28, all things work out together for good to them that love God, so that even in death, we had the opportunity to comfort them, to speak the Word of God to them lovingly, and to open to them this new fellowship of our church. Perchance they need the fellowship, they can still come to us. Isn't it great? So see Joshua here as a man of faith and action. That's what we need today, dear friends. We live in urgent times, perilous times. We do not have so many years in which to serve the Lord. I want to say this to you very sincerely, friends. How are you spending your life? Oh, I must get my degrees. Then I'll work a few years, save up and build myself a little security. Then eventually, when I'm almost about to retire, I say, friends, you may not have time to retire. The Lord may come long before you finish your degree, you know. Yes, I'm very earnest this morning. All the signs show the Lord is on the way. So many signs. We are not here to talk about signs today, but we ought to understand. The Lord says, the day of my coming will find the world in deep unbelief. Even the church will go to sleep and say, oh, yes, I believe, but Jesus will come maybe 1,000 years more, maybe 100 years more, maybe 20 years more. Dear friends, the Lord can come anytime. Anytime. We must be ready. And if so, how must you live your life? I see Joshua gives you the example. Be a man of faith and action. The Lord has said, go, you go. And serve Him. The opportunity is not forever. So, I say, let us follow Joshua. There is a saying that God helps those who help themselves. But I say a better saying is, God helps those who help the Lord in His cause. God helps those who go and do the work of God. God helps those who promote His cause. Here is Joshua. Joshua didn't sit back and relax. He says, suddenly, in the night, all night, he pursued the enemy. And God worked for him in three ways. Three ways. Verses 10, 11, 13, and 14. Please follow me. What did God do for Joshua? Verse 10. The Lord discomfited the enemy before Joshua and slew them with a great slaughter. Just pause here and think of the word discomfited. What is to discomfit? To create confusion and to defeat, and to cause the enemy to fall into disarray. All the forces suddenly were in confusion, and they were defeated. Discomfited. You think that's possible? What do you think? Oh, dear friends, Israel was saved by the Lord, discomfiting the enemy. Without God, how could they have won the war? Impossible. And I say the same today. Today, Israel is in great, great trouble. You say, no, now we've got a new man, Netanyahu. Wow, he's good. Now he's strong. He's standing up against the Arabs. Very soon, you're going to see things happen. And very soon, you're going to see Israel in deep, deep trouble coming. Then they will realize help is not from America. Help does not come from Europe. Help must come from above. God must help them. God must discomfit the enemy. Only God. But they have not any knowledge of God today. The first thing God did for Joshua and for Israel is verse 10. The Lord discomfited the enemy. If you have a problem that is your enemy, and that problem can be solved if the Lord is on your side, if He will dispel that problem, you are all right. The second thing that God did is in verse 11. It came to pass as the enemy fled before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones. He said, oh, really? I didn't know there were stones in heaven. Oh, these are hailstones. Hailstones are made of what? Water. Ever seen hailstones? In Singapore, I would say it's like a blue moon. You hardly ever see a hailstone. But in Australia, oftentimes, you think it's rain, but this rain sounds funny. It goes tick-tick-tack-tack-tick-tick-tack on the roof. You go outside, the whole floor is white with stones. The biggest I've seen is peanuts. But these are like tennis balls. And when they came down, like cricket balls, one knock, you're finished. This is what God did. He rained hailstones from heaven. And I can tell you this, every hailstone was a direct hit. God aimed them. He said, if there's a great hailstorm, how is it the Israelites were not hit? Answer, God has heavenly cannons that shot them direct without laser help. Straight, right through. As the missiles today have got laser smart bombs. They go like this. God is better than those things. Everyone is a direct hit and they were killed. What does it say here? They died. They were more which died with hailstones than they which perished by the sword. How wonderful. That's the second thing that God did. Number 3. Verse 13. The sun stood still. The moon stood still. Until the people avenged themselves. The greatest miracle. An almighty, stupendous miracle. That the earth stopped rotating. And the moon with it stood still. Why did God do it? Of course, it explains here for us that in order to lengthen the day so that Israel can finish the slaughter. But there are a few more reasons. The first, to magnify Joshua. Moses, the great leader, is gone. Now, Joshua, you're in charge. The Lord said, I want the people to know Joshua is my servant. And on that day, God responded to Joshua. Joshua said, son, stand still. Immediately, the Lord acted and answered his prayer. Joshua, in the presence of all the people, was uplifted. Number 2, to magnify the people of Israel. Israel is the apple of my eye, my firstborn, my special people, the promised people, the people who are called to the promise, and God fought for them. That's the meaning of Israel. God fights for them. God fights Israel. On that day, God manifested His glory by specially favoring Joshua and Israel. Thirdly, God magnified Himself. in the presence of the people. You know, one of the chief objects of worship in that time was the sun. Baal worshippers, those who worship Baal or Baal, they all worship the sun. No, you worship the sun, but God says, sun, stand still, go backwards. Look up and don't worship the sun, but worship the maker of the sun, the creator of the sun. On that day, God manifested his great power. You heathen people on earth, look, there is a power greater than the sun. For you to worship the sun is the greatest error. For people to worship anything else other than the Almighty God is the greatest error, greatest tragedy. On that day, God manifested and declared for all people to see there is a power, God Almighty, over the sun. Worship Him, therefore, dear friends, and not anything else. The Lord God of Israel, the Lord who delivered Israel that day, is your God, is our God. To all our friends who came this morning to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, whom did you confess? Jesus? Yes. What Jesus? The same Jesus that saved Joshua. The same Jesus that created in the beginning. The great Almighty Creator, the one who, without whom was nothing was created, only He created. And He is the one that deserves all our worship every day. Do you worship Him every day? You read the Bible? Before you read the Bible, worship Him. Thank Him. Wake up in the morning, worship Him. Thank Him. Go to bed at night, worship Him. Why? He is your Creator. And He is your Savior. And He is the judge of all the earth. And He is the one who stopped the sun. Stopped the sun going down. He's the one who can do all great things for you and for me. And the greatest thing, the greatest miracle He did was He saved us. The greatest miracle. Greatest miracle. Greater miracle than the sun standing still. Than the sun going backwards. The greatest miracle is that God became man and went in your place to Calvary. And there God Almighty shed His blood for you and me. The greatest miracle that by death He tasted death for you and me, and through death destroyed him who had the power of death, the devil. That is the greatest miracle. And He comes to you and says, look to me. All you who are baptized, you look to Jesus. Keep on looking to Him. He alone saves you. He alone can see you through life journey until the very end. Look to Him, therefore. That is the greatest miracle, that Jesus loves me and gave Himself for me, to make me a child of His, to write my name in heaven, and to secure me a place in heaven, and He's coming for me. That is the greatest miracle. Dear friends, are you a part of this miracle? Today we read about this longest day, sun going, not going down for a whole day. Wonderful, now you believe. Much more important, much more precious is the gospel story, that Christ died for you and me. And He's coming for you and me. And one day He is going to give us a long, long day. An eternal day. A day that never has a setting sun. A day where there is no need of the sun. When Jesus Christ Himself is the light. And all of us who believe will be part of that miracle. Do you believe? Oh, dear friends, this is the gospel. God bless you. Let us pray. Almighty God, speak to our hearts. Some may be doubting. Pray, Lord, that that doubt will be removed, even by the word of truth and everlasting life. Help us to persevere and to know that it is worth following the Lord Jesus all the way till He come. Amen.